Well, think of Tinder as a virtual matchmaker. It's a hot new app that's increasingly popular with singles. It's also become the latest target of spammers, and our tech columnist Jesse Hirsch is here with a look at what's happening and why spam is moving into the dating game now. Hello there.
Hey, Rick.
Tell us about what's Tinder.
Well, Tinder is a very popular dating app, either for finding someone just for one date or for finding your soulmate. And as a result, it's perhaps also equally conducive to spam, where when you use Tinder, you're sort of scrolling through other singles really quickly, sort of swiping them left. And if you like them, you swipe them right. And it ends up, you go through people so fast that that's part of what makes this kind of spam so susceptible. And the way it works is you'd be scanning, going, okay, oh yeah, that person's attractive, swipe. Oh wait, look, they like me too. Okay, I'll chat them up. Hi, and they reply, hi, how are you? Then they say, well, if you'd like to get to know me better, why don't you download this game and we can play together, and then maybe we'll go on a date. So at this point, you're thinking, all right, great, yeah, I'll download the game. And that's the spam, in that the spammer gets an affiliate fee for each person who installs that app. So in this case, it was relatively innocuous. All you're doing is installing a lame game. But in another iteration, that could just be malware, where you're actually installing something that compromises your device and allows them to steal your personal information. So it's a great example of the evolution of spam, in this case, targeting a popular dating app.
I have 1,000 questions, but let's start with the technology behind the spamming.
Well, it's something called the Turing test, which is sort of old school artificial intelligence, and it's using software to trick a human being into thinking that it's another human being and not software. Part of that's done using a kind of script that plays on basic language like, hi, how are you? But the other side of Tinder is that in order to create a Tinder account, you have to have a Facebook account. So basically, Tinder outsources its user authentication to Facebook, and that creates a kind of faux vetting, a faux trust, where you just assume that everyone on the site must be legit because they've got their Facebook account. So in this case, the spammer sets up a fake Facebook account with attractive photos, then connects that to a chat bot that allows it to talk to people in an automated way, and deliver the spam message, which in this case is a prompt to download a game. So it allows the spammer to automate this right across Tinder and get as many people as possible, i.e. anyone else who says, hey, yeah, those photos are attractive.
Why target Tinder, though?
Well, part of it has to do with the popularity of the app. I mean, one of the reasons that Tinder has been incredibly popular over the last few months is that it has opt-in messaging. I mean, most dating sites, anyone can message anyone. And that means that women, especially attractive women, get inundated with messages from other guys. Whereas Tinder, by default, nobody can message you. So that engenders perhaps a false sense of control, a false sense of trust, in which you assume that anyone who's going to message you is someone that you're already attracted to and you've given permission. So therefore, the spammer's able to exploit that perception of trust and get a much higher click-through rate, a much higher adoption when it comes to convincing people that that game is worth installing or that link is worth clicking through on.
I just worry about the notion that you find your life mate, first of all, through an app on your phone, and then you play a game together, and all of a sudden it's magic.
Well, okay, there's two things there. Yeah. Yes, I share the skepticism of online dating, and yeah. I do share the skepticism of
now,
Tinder
leading
to... Now,
don't get me wrong, because a lot of people have found their mates online.
Well, no, but let me take the other issue. I actually think that playing games with a prospective mate, and I don't mean like dating as a game, but I mean like video games or board games or sports, that's how you get to know someone. I mean, it's the whole adage of, you know, golfing with a business person because you get to see if they cheat, you get to see if they have honor, you get to see, you know, if they get really upset when they shank or slice a shot off. I feel the same is true with dating, that by playing games with people, you really get to know them. And it's a whole lot easier than the small talk of, like, what movies do you like? Because games, again, really bring out the subconscious.
Where else is this kind of spam appearing now?
Well, this evolution of spam, if I were to call it that, is also infecting social media. And part of it is the way in which it exploits or takes advantage of relations of trust in Twitter, Facebook. And some of it's really obvious. Like, I think all of us who use Twitter have gotten those kind of viruses where a friend says, "Hey, I saw you in this video. You got to watch it. Click here." And you're like, all right, that's spam. That's a virus. But other times it's really effective, especially when it is coming from someone you care about or you work with. And you're like, well, I better click on that link. Everything they send me is really important. Not to mention the short form. I mean, I legitimately have friends who send me links via Twitter all the time. And usually they're really good links about research or neat news articles. So I often have to reply and say, come on, is this really a link or is this a virus? I'm like, no, it's a link. You should click on it. And even then, that could be spam, given the way that we're seeing these kind of chat bots evolve. Mm. So it requires a level of skepticism, a level of vigilance, just to be able to manage the proliferation of links amidst spam and viruses.
Apart from being a skeptic and not trusting anybody then, what else can be done about this?
That's a good question. I mean, the thing with Tinder is, like any startup, they're focused on growth, not security. They want as many users as possible. They don't really care if people are spamming. I mean, granted, they say they care and they're taking efforts to fix it, but they don't make it a priority. Now, Twitter, on the other hand, they've got resources. They're a huge publicly traded company. And even they seem to be ineffective at filtering spam. And I think part of it has to do with the evolution, the way in which the language, the concepts are increasingly sophisticated. So honestly, Rick, I have no idea how they're going to stop this spam. I see it as a billion-dollar opportunity for some young undergrad or high school student who wants to do an academic project that becomes a commercial application that all of these companies will buy if you can figure out how to filter out this new evolving spam.
Tinder.
Tinder. You should try it out, Rick. It's lots of fun.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like it. Thanks, Jesse.
Take care.
Jesse Hirsch can be reached via his website, which is jessehirsch.ca, J-E-S-S-E-H-I-R-S-H, jessehirsch.ca. So here's the question. Do you use Tinder? And how much success have you had in meeting people online through this app on your phone? How do you tell fake from real in virtual dating? Let us know on TalkBack, 604-662-6690, or tweet us at CBC Early Edition. And I admit that lots of folks have met their mates online.